Testing 1, 2, 3. Ralph Guidel, please tell me your name, date of birth, where you're from, and your profession.
My name is Ralph William Guidel. I was born in Staten Island, reside in California. I'm an independent gold miner, a retired firefighter, New York City firefighter.
And your date of birth?
I'm sorry, it's 2/26/58.
And what were you doing on 9/11?
9/11, it was early in the morning. I received a phone call to turn on the TV that a plane had crashed into one of the Twin Towers. I turned on the TV and seen another plane hit the second tower. I was panicking. When the towers collapsed, I knew one or both of my brothers was most definitely in them, and I thought for sure that they were killed. It turned out my one brother, Mike, was safe, and I lost my other brother, Gary, my older brother. He was among the missing. It took me 3 days to get to New York. We went through a lot of politicians and stuff. Finally, we went through the White House, and immediately they had a flight for me, flew me into Kennedy Airport, where I was picked up by fire department personnel, brought to Rescue One in Manhattan, suited up, and brought to the site to start the search and recovery.
So, naturally, you knew on 9/11 itself that when your brother's company was regrouping, that he was not among them. So you knew pretty much right away that he was at least missing.
Yeah, well, I knew he was missing from my younger brother told me. Actually, the whole company. We lost the whole company. 11 guys perished that day.
And I'm sorry, which company was he in again?
Rescue One. Yeah, they lost 11 of their guys.
So you started working on at Ground Zero about 3 days later, and what did you do there?
Immediately, or ironically, I don't know, I got there, we climbed to the top of the pile, me with the guys from Rescue One, and immediately started finding members of Rescue One. They were in the stairwell, and we proceeded to recover their bodies. And after that, just every day, more and more victims, and I stayed there till the end.
So you worked there every day for how many months did you stay there?
Oh, I was there for, it was approximately 230 days I was there. I took off some days. It was a lot of funerals. I went to 51 funerals, and I was in my spare time, and I did march in the St. Patty's Day parade in honor of my brother, Gary, which was, I thought it was going to be a happy thing to do for him. It ended up being one of the worst days of my life. All the people were cheering. They were cheering for, like, my brother, but he was gone, and I just, you know, I just felt awful.
I just got a chill imagining how painful all this has been. So, what were the conditions like? What was it like working there on the pile? What did you feel? I mean, I can only imagine how you felt when you initially found the members of Rescue One.
Right. When we first got there, it felt like working inside of a volcano. It was extremely hot. We were working, trying to recover these bodies, and some of the steel, but you weren't humanly strong enough to move a lot of these beams. So we were basically digging by hand and little hand tools, scraping and scraping, and there was this orange, yellowish smoke coming out, and it was like our skin was turning maroon. I don't know what kind of chemicals were coming out of it, but we were just choking and working and doing the best we could. We were hoping, you know, beyond hope that we would find somebody alive, but it was mostly, there was bodies. There was a lot of firefighters. I could see their bunker boots sticking out from between beams and stuff. And I knew my brother Gary had a skin graft on his heel, so I would recognize his scar. So I removed a lot of the boots and the socks to check these firefighters' feet to see if one of them would be my brother, but that didn't turn out. I had to put the socks back on in their boot, be respectful, but it was horrible from day one to the very end. It was just it was a nightmare.
And what was your initial reaction when you first arrived downtown and you saw the physical destruction?
When I first seen it, I could not believe the immenseness of this thing. It was huge. The TV did not show it. I mean, you can't see it that way. I felt like an ant, a little teeny ant trying to move a mountain. That's exactly how I felt. I felt almost, I don't know the word, but I was just so overwhelmed. I knew I couldn't do this job alone. It was too enormous.
And when did you start feeling physical effects? So you were aware, of course, initially you saw the smoke. You said your skin was turning color, and smelled the smells there. When did you start to really feel the physical effects of what you were exposed to?
After I was there a few months, the inside of my nasal passages and stuff, they were raw. I was suffering a lot of nosebleeds from all the dust. I was breaking out in pretty severe rashes and stuff on my arms and on my legs that I would have to hide from, you know, senior personnel. I didn't want them to see that. You know, the cough that everybody had. But towards the end, I was passing out a lot when I would be at ceremonies and stuff, dizzy spells, and then I was having what they call anxiety attacks, and I was being treated for that after it was over. 2 years after the final day there, I came down with a type of a throat cancer. It was in my lymph nodes, and they operated. I went through 7 weeks of radiation every day. I had a stomach tube for 8 months, lost, 80 pounds maybe. I started putting it back on, and knock on wood, I'm doing fairly well right now.
So that was 2 days after you finished working there, you started feeling something that turned out to be throat cancer? And what was the feeling that told you that something was wrong?
Well, it was just even just the color of the smoke and my skin turning that color. I knew it was bad. But I wanted my brother also, so I just kept going. The nosebleeds and stuff I attributed to maybe the lye that was in the concrete dust or something. But I just pretty much didn't say anything to anybody, and I just kept working on the recovery.
So you had an operation to remove the lymph nodes in your throat, and you had radiation and chemotherapy, is that right?
Yes, sir. They took out something like 48 lymph nodes in my neck, yeah. They never really found a primary tumor or anything. They called it a type of a tongue cancer for lack of anything else to call it, but they took my tonsil out. There was nothing wrong with it. Basically, the cancer was all in the lymph nodes. So I got 2 years clean now, three more, and they say I'll be all right. But who knows?
So are you having other... Well, you told me you're taking a lot of medications. Which medications are you taking, and what are they for?
Well, I take a lot of medications for my anxiety. I have... I suffer what they call it post-traumatic stress. I hallucinate. I see people sometimes. They seem to be mad at me for not being able to find them, and it like I couldn't set their spirit free. I usually get that. It used to be only at night, but then sometimes it actually would happen while I was awake. So they put me on a series of different medications. They keep doing it. The dreams, or the ghosts I call them, seem to slow down a bit, but not totally. Driving a car sometimes, I'll hear a truck will pull up next to me, and then I go into an anxiety attack, and I just got to hold on, or my wife will grab the wheel. I'll be able to let her know that it's happening. Other than that, my thyroid has been pretty much fried from the radiation, so I'm on a lot of thyroid medications that they're trying to figure out what would be the right dosage and stuff right now. That takes a little bit of time.
Now, were you going to say something else?
Well, no, I was going to say is I wish I had the list of all the medications. I can't keep them all in my head how many there are.
I'll get that list from you. But now you're living in Northern California. You were living there after you had left the fire department because of an injury and moved to Northern California, right?
I moved to Northern California. I became a independent gold miner, sort of treasure hunter. A beautiful life there. 9/11 came. I told my wife, I said, Gary's missing. I got to go home. I'll be home in about 2 weeks after I find him. I didn't make it home for over a year.
But now you're back in New York, and one of the reasons you're back here has to do with the remains at Deutsche Bank. Can you tell me about that?
All right. After the cancer and everything, I received a phone call from one of the guys that knew me from my work at the Trade Center, and they were finding remains on top of the Deutsche Bank, and they asked me if I would fly in and do the recovery there, which I accepted gladly. Upon arrival, my first day there, I went through some of the rubble that they said they had already previously had searched and found over 100 bone fragments. The building's loaded with human remains. It's not just the roof, it's all through the gash where the south tower, all the way into the sub-basement.
So, I'm sorry, when was this that they called you back to look?
They called me in April 9th, I believe I got to Deutsche Bank on the 11th, April 11th.
Of 2006?
Of 2006.
But now, you know, they're planning to deconstruct the building, to tear it down, and you're saying that there are many more human remains throughout the building, and you know the building well, and that you want to go back there, right? And so tell me that, you know, about how you're trying to get back there and what you're encountering in trying to get back inside the building.
All right. Well, I was up there, and I, like I said, the stuff that they said they previously searched, I found remains. So, of course, I said, well, we're going to have to search everything over again, which they didn't particularly appreciate that, but that's what we had to do. I also went into the cooling system and found within a 5-inch gutter area, I came out with 5 human bones. It's packed with remains. I know this. I've personally searched it. I searched the whole gash area where the south tower hit it. We found a piece of skull with still skin attached. It was tanned, of course, from the lye and the cement and hair. I believe it was probably a woman. And that was just laying on the ground. That had to be laying there for 4.5 years. And that debris goes all the way into the sub-basement. They shut the work down because of asbestos. Then when it was time to return to work, I wasn't called. I asked why. They said I wasn't qualified. Now, I don't know anybody more qualified, but they said I wasn't qualified, and I believe it was because I'm a family member, and when I see something not done properly, I voice it, and that's what I think happened.
So when you say they, you mean the LMDC, the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation, is that right?
Exactly, the LMDC, all the powers to be, yeah.
Would you be happy if JPAC could go in there and you have the professional military teams who do this forensic kind of research?
Well, I thought about that too, but the way I figure it's pretty much the same thing that we've been doing. You have a couple of anthropologists, some doctors, and then you'll have your privates and stuff down on their hands and knees looking for bone fragments. I think it's pretty much the same thing as we were doing. But since I'm not allowed there, I'd love to see JPAC come in there. I would like to see all this material just taken out of the building. Then they can deconstruct it, but I would like the material to run through shakers, find all the obvious large remains, and the smaller remains given to victims' families for proper burial, for a proper burial. A common grave, have you.
And so there's no way that they're going to let you in right now, or there's no way they're going to let you back in there. Is that right?
That's right. There's no way they're going to let me back in. I've received threats from some unions for slowing down the work and stuff. There's no way I'll be allowed back in there.
And are you still trying to have this done properly as you see it? How are you applying pressure to get this done right?
Well, what I was trying to do is pass the torch. I'm pretty well burnt out. I did everything I'm physically capable of doing. What I did do is go public. I did some interviews on TV, and I went to some of the family groups and stuff, told them exactly what's going on, what I've seen. I did take some pictures, and I'm kind of passing the torch so they could take over. I really need to go home now.
Right. Okay, is there anything else you want to say, that whether it's about 9/11 itself, what's happened since then, how you're feeling, anything else that you would like to talk about that's going to tell this story, both about this health crisis coming from 9/11 and about your particular story? Anything you want to add?
All right. Well, one thing I would like to say is there's people, they're talking about memorials. They're talking about these major lawsuits that... my priority is, and it always has been, is you go, you try to make a rescue. If there's no rescue, you do a recovery. That's the priority. You recover all the victims first, right? They haven't done that. These people have been in this building for 5 years now. After they're all recovered, then we could talk about other things, memorials, my cancer, all of that. But right now, my priority is to get the victims out.
Okay, that's great. Anything else at all? All right, great. Thanks. Thanks, Ralph. That's very good.
That's really how I feel. You have to get... You take care of the victims first. Then you take care of everything else.
So you don't think there should be any rebuilding or anything or until that? I mean, should they start it at the former World Trade Center site or not build anything?
Nothing until the victims are recovered.
Okay, thank you.